This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that's all about the sights, the sounds, the scenes, and on Tuesdays, the listeners. And this week, let's start. Tuesday morning, here we go. I'm back from vacation, so I'm not 100% sure I'm going to get to everybody's comments over the last week. I'm going to consolidate a few because I'm getting more and more comments. So I've been on vacation for the weekend, Friday to Monday, getting home late Monday. Promise you guys a podcast. So I'm going to put out this podcast as best as I can. My wife's even like, you don't have to do it. You know, they'll be fine without you. And I'm like, yes, I know, but I like to do it. I like to sit down. So I am sitting down here talk to you guys because we've got some things to talk about. Some great comments came in this week, of course, but we've got other things that have happened this week. So let's get to all of that. And first and foremost, I got a new patron at patreon.com/brightsidehometheater. If you want to join Eric, my newest patron, Eric, thank you very much. If you'd like to join him in supporting the podcast, you can do so by going there and you click on that Brightside Home Theater. And you can donate as little as a dollar or as much as you would like. And it goes, all monies go into supporting this podcast. And, you know, I'm getting up there, getting closer to that, believe it or not. If you go on there, you can actually see what I'm making. I'm getting closer to that $100 a month. I haven't taken a dime yet. It's all just sitting there. I think I'm going to, like I've said in the past, I might buy something fun with it for the podcast, and we'll see how that goes when we get there. I don't know, but all the money, I really appreciate it because there is stuff that goes into this, and anything and everything everybody does to support the podcast is great, and that also includes everybody over on Twitter and following me over there. And I really appreciate that because that's where I get most of my comments from. We get a few over on YouTube as well. We'll talk about those as we go on today. But we have some new followers on Twitter. We have Ken Giffey Jr., no R. I was all excited there for a second. But thanks, Ken. Thanks for following along over on Twitter. We also have Eric Riker followed on Twitter. Thank you. Carl with a C, but it's the C as in like copyrighted C with the circle around it. Pretty fun. That was pretty cool. And then we'll get into some comments from there. So thank you to those three, Carl, Eric, and Ken, for joining me over on Twitter. Really appreciate that. Also picked up some new followers. I don't list the YouTube followers because I've said this in the past. Sometimes they get listed, sent to me. Other times I just find I'm getting new followers. You go and the number goes up. So thank you to everybody following on YouTube as well. That podcast, YouTube podcasts go out on Fridays. Those are always a podcast and a video to go with it. Tuesdays are audio only. That way I don't have to do my makeup and I can just sit here and look ugly. So, all right, let's get to some of these comments. Thank you to everybody like Carl who commented. Carl emailed me, but I got a lot of comments on people talking about the loose kid in the theater. That was the subject of my rage last week. And yeah, most common comment was, I've never experienced anything like that. And yeah, I haven't either. And I can't imagine anything worse. I mean, I don't know how you could be worse because it hit all the senses, the sights, the sounds, everything. And literally the scenes as the kid ran in front of the screen. It hit everything. So thank you to everybody commenting and commiserating on that one. Scott emailed in, said, I finally listened to your Hurricane Heist podcast and really enjoyed it. On the off chance, you haven't given both copies away yet, so saith the pillow. And he quoted, life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning how to dance in the rain. So he sent in the quote, and unfortunately, and fortunately for the podcast, I guess, but unfortunately for Scott, I've already given away both copies, but I'm mentioning it here because one, Scott commented, and two, there will be some giveaways coming up real soon. We're getting to the holiday season. We're getting, and I have a stack sitting next to me. So who knows how I'm going to do it, when I'm going to do it, why I'm going to do it, what you're going to have to do to earn them. But I have some giveaways coming up. I've had them for a couple of weeks now, but I'm waiting for the holidays. So we'll see. So listen closely, because you know how I like to hide little Easter eggs in the podcast to give stuff away. All right, moving on from there. All the comments I got on biased lighting. G Cornell and I actually had a conversation about biased lighting, but I got other people that had comments about biased lighting. I do like it. If you listen to, I didn't talk much about it leading up to the conversation with Todd last week, because I talked to Todd a few weeks ago. We recorded that, but I thought it was funny. If you listen to that podcast, when he first says it, I jump right away and go, I hate it. And I do, because I see, and as I said to Todd, I see that's my first impression when somebody says bias lighting, because most people think bias lighting is that nice lighting that goes behind it, that matches the color that's on the screen, that's all the beautiful neon colors or whatever. And I think that completely ruins the image. But when done well and correctly, it actually can enhance the enjoyment of a movie when it, on a typical television. In a projector setup, you don't need bias lighting at all, because the light coming off the screen in a projector setup at 100 inches or over, there's plenty of ambient lighting coming off the screen. We're trying to control that, not add that. Whereas with a smaller screen, you may need a little bit more to help relax your eyes. And then with your eyes relaxed, it gives you a better perceived perception of contrast ratio, all of that stuff. So thank you to everybody. Any other questions or comments on that? I'm more than happy to answer them, give you my opinion on it. But I do not like when you put, while a movie is playing, and you add in the colors that are on the screen to match that doesn't work. That's actually ruining your image, and it's ruining your ability to perceive that image. And that's the fact. That's not even debatable. So it actually does do that. All right, let's move along. WV Brew at Brightside HT. LG hinting about the return of 3D TVs on Facebook. It probably is true because of Facebook Meta. Promotional video shows a lot of 3D screens. He also tweeted a link to the 3D to Meta and welcome to Meta from Facebook. And I'm not 100% sure of that, WV Brew, because I think a lot of, from what I have seen and read about Meta, is it's going to be more of the virtual reality world, where you're wearing your headset. Even the Meta logo, if you look at it, it's almost like a kind of warped infinity logo, but that matches what the goggles look like. When you're wearing a virtual reality, whatever, an Oculus, those goggles, I think that's what they're going for. And they're going for a Ready Player One world. It, where all your commerce, I mean, imagine going on Facebook and seeing your family members there, which is what a lot of people do on Facebook now, is you go on there and you type to your family members. But what if Meta could bring you to, like, literally hang out and sit at a table with your family members in a virtual reality world? I think that's what they're going for. So maybe the 3D could come back for something like that. Maybe they're going to maybe 3D televisions are going to do something like that, where you, instead of putting the goggles on, you can actually sit around. I don't know. I know you, WV, you're a big fan of 3D, as am I, but it doesn't seem to have the popularity of the masses to bring it back. It seems to still be a yet dying medium, which I do. I wish it didn't, but I'm glad there's still content out there for us. I know you have an instance coming up that we'll talk about when we get to movies and scenes about a 3D movie. But I'm glad there's still content out there for us, but I don't foresee that actually making a big comeback, especially with the virtual reality world as that's, you know, starting to take off. And Facebook trying to get more into the virtual reality world, I think that's, I mean, it's a good thing if you love virtual reality. So, all right, moving along. Steve Ratcliffe at Brightside HT, Atmos above and below. What do you think of Atmos having low speakers? We have everywhere else covered, but not below us. Imagine a train, car, or earthquake, or footsteps. Spider-Man swinging above the city. What other scenarios? Anybody? And he's putting that out. He put that out on Twitter, tagged me, asking me, and he put it out to everybody. This, and I replied to him, I'm like, this was my conversation. The first interview I had with Tom Andry, I mentioned this to him. I'm like, do you think we'll ever get there? And I think Tom mentioned the limitations of it. It's hard because the speakers are down low, so it's going to be harder for you to hear them. Because, you know, think about when you set up your room. When I set up my room and the chairs that I bought specific chairs that wouldn't block the sound from behind me. I wanted to be able to hear and see my speakers. You want to have line of sight to your speakers so that sounds better. All of that is a reality to get good sound in your room. Now, I agree with Tom's assessment that yes, when the speaker's down low, they're going to be blocked by the chairs and stuff. So you might not get the good sound, but I also think it doesn't matter because if we add a set of speakers down low, hey, when somebody walks by me and I'm in a restaurant, there's chairs and there's a whole bunch of crap blocking my hearing of that sound. But if you can put it down there and you're going to recognize it, you're going to hear it. I think it would add a lot. It would sell one. It would sell speakers. Two, it would sell in more a new format. They're all looking to how do I get to sell more receivers, this, that, and the other. I need 22 speakers because I need to have a bunch circling the room at floor level. I need to have a bunch circling the room at ceiling level. I need a few in the middle. I need my 5.1 and then all my heights and my lows, whatever. I think it would add to, I really do. I agree with Steve. I've been saying it for a long time. That I do think it would add to the experience, and maybe someday we'll get it because we're always looking, like Steve here asking this question. Clearly, Steve probably already has Atmos. He's in his room. Okay, that's it. What do I got next? Just like I said, when I was adding stuff to my room and adding in the Lumigen, and I'm looking at them, and my buddy Jim is calibrating everything and I'm asking him, okay, when's the next projector? What? I haven't even finished with this one yet and I already want to know what the next step is. That's part of the hobby. Everything is evolving and what's the next step of the evolution? So I love that question. I hope we get it someday. It would be, because I think it would be fun. I don't think we need it, but it would be fun. So, and that's what this is all about. All right. Next up, it was a conversation on Twitter about HD Basics and HD, the calibration disc that Digital Video Essentials put out. I had the Laserdisc, I had the DVD, I have the Blu-ray, and I still use it. And there was a conversation about that. And Reginald actually commented, he goes, I still have this disc, but with an OLED, it is obsolete. And I'm not sure I completely agree with that. Maybe I don't understand what he means. I know OLEDs are very good. I know that there you can go online and find the settings that you need to set your OLED up. But I still think that even though this is HD, it's not even 4K. It's not a 4K disc. But the way you set your black levels with this disc, you can use it on any monitor and you're going to get your black levels pretty damn close. Because I still use this disc when I go to somebody's house and I ask them, do you have a Blu-ray player? Because I want to use this disc to calibrate your TV so you know what it's supposed to look like. Take it out of vivid mode, set everything up right, tell them, you know, instruct them, this is how you get used to seeing it this way. Try to get used to it because that's going to give you the best image. And then that's how you're going to learn. That's how I learned with this Laserdisc back in the day. But that's why I don't think this disc would ever be obsolete. And that's why, I mean, Spears and Munsell disc, very good as well. But this disc here it's simple to use. I don't think it'll ever be obsolete because even though, like, if you have an OLED, you go online and you check everything. If you own this disc, you throw it in, you're going to be able to see if your black levels are right. Just a quick check. Takes you 2 seconds. Pop the disc in, go to the, if you know the disc, you know the chapters you got to go to see the images you want to see. Very simple. Plus, if you've never used this disc, it's a great tutorial too. Lots of information on that disc. Love that disc. And I won't give it away either because it's, for me, I guess, I think it was hard to find in the first place back when I bought that copy. All right, moving along. Graham Cole, he's going to see Metallica and Rob Zombie tonight at Dayton Rockville Concert. AV nerdage incoming. 1, wish I had an SBL meter. 2, U-Mic 1 to see what frequencies are shooting out. 3, show me the subs because the bass here is nuts. And he put that out to me at Brightside HC and Rob at First Reflect from AV Rant. And it's true. It's like, now, while I probably wouldn't go see Metallica and Rob Zombie, not my cup of tea, like both their music in a certain time, you know, certain songs, but I wouldn't go to their concerts. But yes, when I do go to concerts, yeah, you do nerd out. And it's like, oh, I wish, I would love to know what, like you said, what's the sound pressure here? What am I getting here? What are they using for subs? Like, how do you fill that room? Because you're in a big area, especially when you're in an open stadium and you still get to feel some decent bass. It's insane. And what frequencies are we getting? It's painful. Like, you go to these concerts and for like the next day you have that ringing in your ears and stuff. It's like, that's not good. But it was fun. All right. BJ Horton, 2005, and Rob H. had a, wow, two things on this conversation. So BJ Horton was watching She-Ra. He heard Rob and I talk about it last year. That was Rob's first appearance on the podcast. And I watched that. I watched the entire series of She-Ra over on Netflix. I still highly recommend it. I had a really good time watching it. Wouldn't have watched it, like I said last week, if it wasn't for the podcast. And it wasn't for Rob. I wouldn't have done it. It's just not my cup of tea. It's not my genre that I'd be like flipping the channels. There's so much great content out there. Why would I stop on like a show that's meant for 7-year-old predominantly girls? Why would I? But Rob, I can't even remember. Rob stopped on it, but Rob did it and he loved it and wanted to talk to somebody. So I did it. And I am very glad I did. And that's what's great. Don't judge anything. Try it out. Try it out for yourself, right? Well, BJ's doing the same thing, right? And he loves it. He flew through it. Now, they had a great conversation on Twitter going back and forth. And it, two things. I'm so happy for BJ. I'm happy he found it because of us. I'm happy that he really enjoyed it. He wants to go back through it and watch it again. It struck a chord with him. And that's awesome. But the other part is, listening, or I say listening because I'm reading it, but I've talked to Rob since about it. Not recently about this conversation, but over the last year, we've talked about, you know, She-Ra, and his recollection is insane. I don't have that kind of recollection. If I don't have good notes, I can't tell you what I just watched. So, but he's talking about a show he watched 2 years ago. I watched it a year ago. Rob is giving great memories of what I said that I don't even remember. And it blows me away. Like, he's quoting, he's saying stuff that I liked about the show that I'm like, yeah, he's right. I do remember that, but I wouldn't have remembered it if he hadn't said it. It's insane. I call Rob a kid. I know he's younger than me, but he's got an insane memory. He's got how that works. I think it's awesome. Tom was busting him when he was on here, saying, you know, he does a lot of work for the podcast, and Rob does, but he's also been on this podcast and I've put questions to him that I know for a fact. I know it's like, you guys, you don't have to believe me, but I know for a fact I've hit him with questions that he had no idea the answers to. And he didn't even know the questions were coming, and bam, he answered them just like if he was on AV Rant. He had instructions from the manuals offhand, off the top of his head. He had settings off the top of his head that, I mean, it would take me longer just to try to spell out the thing I was trying to look up than it was for him to actually recollect all of that information. Insane, insane memory. And it, I mean, it's great. I love it. But they had a great conversation. And honestly, that's what this podcast is about. I really love that BJ was very happy about that. I love that you guys all love these scenes and we talk about them week after week. But yeah, like BJ, like Rob, myself, check out She-Ra. I don't think, and it is, it's tough to get through, not tough, but you, it takes the first season for you to get into it and actually feel attached to all of the characters. But by, I guarantee you, by the end of the first season, you'll be like, oh wow, I got to hear what happens next. And by the end of the entire thing, you, it's a great story arc that you're like, I did not see that coming. And I didn't think I was going to like it as much as I did. So check that out, please. Well, you don't have to, but you won't be sorry if you did. All right. YouTube, Mikey says, talking about my chat with Todd over on AV Nirvana. Mikey says, I thought Lord of the Rings was just shot in 24 frames per second, but The Hobbit was 48 and not well received. But The Hobbit in 4K is now 24, or maybe I'm just confused. Personally, I don't think the soap opera effect makes things more realistic. I think it makes them less because IRL, our eyes, see movement as blurred. And having high frame rates, it can show movement in an unnatural, precise manner. Now you want that detailed look when playing a FPS game, and it can also help watching sports. But I find it strange watching films with high frame rates, either filmed as such or with motion smoothing. And I, Mikey, I absolutely agree with you. I do. But at the same time, when you're watching, I think at a high frame rate on a large screen, kind of like Gemini Man, I just think it's just, it's fun to experience that. I don't know if I'd want it all the time. And I like it when directors, artists push the limits. And what's fun on a big screen when you're getting a higher frame rate like that, well, now you do have to move your head around. And now you're creating the blur by moving your head around that screen looking at things. Now, a stagnant image where you can just look at a television at a high frame rate and you don't have to move your head, that does feel unnatural. But there's a sense, like I'm thinking of the scene when Will Smith is at the beginning of Gemini Man, it's a simple, simple scene, but he's laying down on the ground, not a lot of movement going on, but it's shot in a high frame rate. So you're getting that little bit more detail there, the grass blowing and stuff. So he's about to make the shot to a train. He's laying in a prone position and it's a close up of him, the rifle, everything. Now, my eyes on a 110-inch screen start to move around that screen to look at all of the beautiful detail, the texture in Will's face, the texture on the gun, the difference between the shirt and the metal of the gun, all of that, the textures that are put onto the scope that he has to adjust, that, you know, the texture they give things to make it so that you can move it so it's not smooth, it has a grip to it. The grass blades, all of that. Meanwhile, my eyes are moving around the screen. Now my eyes are blurring the scene because I'm trying to take all of this in before the scene shifts. I think that's fun. I think that adds to the experience of these types of movies. It's a different type of movie than, say, you know, Schindler's List, where that's shot in black and white, because let's go with the story here. We don't need anything extravagant on our eyes. We want to get involved with the story. So it's a completely different experience. And I think they're both great. They both have a place. They're both art. And I do enjoy that. To say one is bad and should be gone is crazy. I think they both have a place. All right. Theo comments on YouTube. Yes. Love the show. Talking about Todd and I's conversation. Thank you. I absolutely enjoyed that show myself. Can't wait to have Todd back. Really looking forward to it. And Todd Anderson himself at AV Woofer says, tons of fun joining DJ on the Bright Side podcast. And I replied to him, hashtag Iron Eagle. So if you've heard that show, you know what we're talking about. We laughed about that. We laughed about it after the fact. There's a movie that needs a 4K update, I tell you. No, I'm just kidding. But I loved sitting down with Todd. I think AV Nirvana is a great addition, us getting together, talking more. I think they're going to be a great addition to this podcast. Just getting to know Todd, becoming friends with Todd, talking to him more and more. It's upping my game. And again, I'm hoping to get Mike on the show, who does all of their reviews. I'm not hoping. I know I can get Mike. We've already been talking. So I think that's going to be fun. And it's just such a great work. This environment, the home theater environment, is so much fun. And thank you to Todd for coming on. Thank you to everybody. If you haven't listened, I highly recommend it. We're both very passionate about home theater. We both come from the same, literally we're like the same age practically. We came up at the same time, and we have the same ideals when it comes to home theater, and it's just a lot of fun. So it was great talking with him. Can't wait to do it again more and more. All right. Let's get to the big news from Friday that dropped earlier in the week. The whole idea of IMAX Enhanced on Disney Plus. I mentioned this last week because it was in the news. Then I got the opportunity starting on Thursday, I think, to actually start taking it in. And then I was going on vacation, leaving on Friday, but I got up early Friday morning so I could take in even more and more because I just wanted to experience what IMAX Enhanced was. I haven't been able to do anything since then. I got home from my vacation, sat down here with you guys, but I've been reading about it and we've got a bunch of comments. I talked to a bunch of people over the weekend. Yes, I'm on vacation, but I'm still tweeting at replying to people at the behest of my wife, but still talking to people. But anyway, so let's get to some of these comments and then I'll go over my overall view and ideas of this and how much, whatever, what it all means anyways to me. So Justin Van Camp says, at Brightside HT, DJ, I have a question for you. In order to enjoy the IMAX Enhanced on Disney Plus, do I need an audio receiver that supports IMAX Enhanced? My current receiver only supports Atmos, DTS:X, and regular Dolby Digital or Dolby Digital Plus. And as of today, you do not need anything. You don't even need an IMAX Enhanced television to be able to enjoy IMAX Enhanced on Disney Plus, because today IMAX Enhanced on Disney Plus just includes the variable aspect ratios or the IMAX Enhanced aspect ratio. Because I qualify that because Infinity War, Endgame, and Shang-Chi are actually filmed completely in their entirety in IMAX Enhanced. Infinity War and Endgame being the first two. Shang-Chi just dropped. I haven't had a chance to look at the disc yet. I don't think the disc is in IMAX Enhanced, even though it's, and I think that's done purposefully. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Even IMAX Enhanced, if you were to get an IMAX Enhanced disc, which I have a few, you still get to enjoy IMAX Enhanced. So what's funny is Sony is a big promoter of IMAX Enhanced. My projector is IMAX Enhanced capable. My receiver, my Denon receiver, is not. So what happens with IMAX Enhanced, and if you listen to Rob over on AV Rant, Rob will tell you IMAX Enhanced actually shuts off your base management. Not sure if that's still the case, and that's not good. So what you're going to want to do is do a pass-through. And at the end of the day, and what I do for IMAX Enhanced is I do a pass-through as well. I don't use IMAX Enhanced on my projector, but I still get the variable aspect ratios. So IMAX Enhanced, from how I understand it, is another version of THX or filmmaker mode, which TVs are coming with. And basically, it's telling you this is what IMAX would like you to see. So if everything in the chain is IMAX Enhanced, you're going to see everything and hear everything the way the director intended it to be seen through IMAX Enhanced. Okay? If that makes sense. So if your content is IMAX Enhanced, if your receiver, if you're using a receiver, is IMAX Enhanced, if your television is IMAX Enhanced, and you will then get IMAX Enhanced through the chain if you enable it all the way through, because the picture is going, the settings on your display will be displaying it, all of the calibration and anything you've done would be negated for IMAX, for what IMAX Enhance said. Now, if you spend, you know, hundreds of dollars to have your television professionally calibrated in your room, well, you might actually be going backwards, because IMAX doesn't know what color your room is. It doesn't know what the light setting is. It doesn't know any of the stuff that the professional calibrator knew when he set your room up. But it doesn't mean IMAX Enhance is bad. It just means that for the person that doesn't want to pay all that, they get this and boom, everything's all set. Same with the settings. IMAX Enhance, it's going to set all of your surrounds. It's going to set all of your room to sound exactly the way they intended it. Now, if you've done all the calibrations, it's going to erase that just for the time of you watching this viewing. So you're not going to want that. So same with, you know, DTSX. DTSX, I guess IMAX Enhanced, it does a higher, I think it actually adds a little bit of volume to the height channels. So it's kind of bumping them, which some people do anyways. Like, you calibrate your room and it'll say, okay, that's all you need. Say your height channels are only supposed to be set to like plus 2 dB. You do your room calibration and you see, okay, this is the way everything plays flat. Everything plays perfect. This is the sound I'm supposed to get, but I want a little more. So you're going to bump those up to a plus 4 dB. And you might do the same in the rear, because I like to have a little bit extra. I don't personally, but I know a lot of people do. That's what IMAX Enhance is doing in this case. I think they're saying, look, we're going to give you a little bit extra in the height channels. I don't think there's any extra sound there that you don't get. I just think they're bumping the thing. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. So I've talked to many people about upgrading my receiver, especially when IMAX Enhance first came out a couple of years ago. I'm like, should I get that? Do I need to get that? And I have yet to hear a person that said no. That has told me, no, you absolutely need this because you're missing. No, in a setup that's well calibrated, you're not missing anything, but you will get everything that you're supposed to get. And now I'm literally talking not just Disney Plus. I'm talking if you have an IMAX Enhanced disc, like I believe Venom is. The first Venom Blu-ray is IMAX Enhanced, because that's Sony. They put that out and it's an IMAX Enhanced disc. All right, let's move along. That's kind of all set up. I wanted to get that out of the way first, and then we'll get to the opinion of IMAX Enhanced. So Kilroy, at Kilroy Was Here, says IMAX has single-handedly appropriated the 16:9 aspect ratio for their own publicity. I can't wait for them to start calling all non-scope aspect ratios IMAX Enhanced. And that was hysterical. I started laughing and I wrote, like, you know, I said Rollerblade, Xerox, all of the things that we think that when we say, like, hey, you going rollerblading? No, rollerblades are inline skates. You see what I mean? And like Xerox or all those different companies that we say, like, oh, go make a Xerox. And it's like, no, you got to go make a copy. Xerox is a copy machine. Rollerblade is an inline skate made by the Rollerblade company. So IMAX Enhanced, because of the way they rolled this out, everybody's starting to say, oh, I want that IMAX Enhanced. And it's just a larger format. That's always been there. It's our TVs are 16:9, but it doesn't mean our TVs are in the six. That's not the IMAX Enhanced ratio. That's just what we've always had. And it seems to be like they potentially could have pulled that off. Maybe. We'll see. Time will tell. And I like that. And we'll get to more of that in a second. Martin Anderson, it's cool that we have access to this now, but it's also kind of annoys me that all of my Marvel discs are now are going to be obsolete. I know it was going to happen sooner or later, but still. And Martin, at the end of that, you answered your own. In this day and age, in this hobby, not even in this day and age, when I started, I bought a VHS player. I knew it was obsolete the day I bought it, because Laserdisc existed, and you know something else is going to come. In this hobby, you're never buying the end game product. There isn't one. There really isn't. Maybe with speakers, but we keep upgrading speakers. It just upgrades at a slower, much slower pace over video quality, right? But we're never going to be there. So when you buy and purchase that disc, It's going to be obsolete someday. I'm sitting here talking to you guys, and right next to me, there's boxes of laser discs. Literally hundreds of pounds of boxes of laser discs that I own that I just couldn't get rid of, but they are now obsolete. I won't watch them again. They're not, the quality isn't the same. There are people online that'll tell you they're the same, but I don't think they are. We've upped the game. That's just what's happening. And that is what is going to happen. Talk more on that in a second as well. Steve George at Legal Beagle. I will be buying the disc of Shang-Chi on Monday to make certain that there are no aspect shifts. After that, I won't be picking up any new Disney disc releases that have variable aspect ratios on Disney Plus, but not on the disc. I refuse to pay a premium for a likely inferior product. So what I have to say about that is I agree with you. I will be buying the discs, even though I know that Disney Plus has given me a like with Black Widow. The disc has no variable aspect ratio. Or in this case, the Shang-Chi, where I'm not sure what, I haven't seen that disc yet. But if that's in, you know, your CinemaScope, the entire thing, but then on Disney Plus, the entire movie is in IMAX enhanced. It's the larger screen. I think that's better. I sat down to just watch some scenes on Thursday night. I didn't get to bed until almost midnight because I got sucked into Infinity War. I watched the entire thing in IMAX enhanced because I just couldn't get enough of the larger screen. I even AB'd a few. That's why it took longer. I started at like 7 o'clock. I even AB'd some scenes to see what they did. I tweeted out about it. I tweeted out the image of Chris Hemsworth, and his forehead is cut off at the top. It's the same size face, but then in IMAX enhanced, they actually open up the screen. It's the same shot, just with no black bars or very small black bars. I like that. And I like how they're doing it. I completely agree with how they're doing it. I get what people are saying. Like, you want more IMAX enhanced? Then, yep, you can vote with your wallet and not buy those discs. But I do still want to hear the difference. And I did AB IMAX enhanced versus my disc, especially on Infinity War. And the physical media is still superior to the image and the sound that you get through streaming. It's more dynamic. The black levels, the brightest scenes and the darkest scenes aren't the same on streaming as they are on a disc, on the physical media. Okay. And then the same with the sound. It's just not as loud and not as deep. The highs aren't as high and the lows aren't as low when you're streaming, but it is very, very close, in my opinion. It is so close that, like Steve is saying here, I won't watch the regular disc anymore because the heightened experience you get with the IMAX enhanced full screen for Infinity War more than makes up for this. You can bump, and that's what I was doing. I bumped my sound. My sound level was bumped by 3 dB and my bass level was bumped by 4 dB. And that gave me a very close experience to what exactly you get on a disc. So my overall volume went up 3 dB. My subwoofer management went up by 4 dB. And that it was fantastic. I felt everything that I wanted to feel. I felt like I heard everything I wanted to hear. I thought it was great. There's not much you can do. I don't want to mess with the picture to try and brighten things and darken them. It's not worth it to me. And then, but on top of that, you get the larger screen. So it looks so good. And it really is. It's very hard to tell on picture wise. You can tell, I can tell, but you have to AB, you have to jump right from one to the other. And with my setup, when I switch, the process to go from Apple TV Plus or Apple TV and watching that and then switching over to my physical media, I lose the screen for probably about 30 to 40 seconds. And then I'm back on the same image back and forth. And I can see the difference. But if you watched it, if you watched an entire movie at my house on regardless of the medium and then went and watched it at your house, you wouldn't see the difference. If you have a well-calibrated system, you'd be like, this looks just as good. And you wouldn't know which one I had on in my house. Now, if I showed you the difference, you would know right away. It's not that hard to discern, but the higher aspect ratio, the IMAX enhanced, makes up for that small difference. And it's so good. So good. Let's see. Looks like either physical media or Kaleidoscape is the only way to get lossless. In my opinion, any DTS codecs for movies has more punch than all Dolby codecs. And that comes from Daddy077, said that on Twitter. And losing my voice here, I've been talking straight out here. So anyways, my point in this one here is because of DTS:X, that is supposedly coming to IMAX Enhance on Disney Plus, but a lot of people are hoping that by this showing up, we're going to be getting a lot of people. I don't know how they think that we're going to get lossless. Not right away. Maybe someday. I agree that someday maybe we'll get lossless for movies, but not right now. I don't think we have the infrastructure for it. I don't think the data rate that you would have to get that across, it would be too much to go complete lossless. And a lot of people compare it, well, they do it for music. Okay, yeah, they do. But when you download, how long does it take you to download a lossless version of a 4-minute song? It takes a little while. That you can get you can download a lossless version of a movie, but it takes hours. It depending on your streaming, like even with a Kaleidoscape, unless you have their premiere format, it's going to take you 20 to 40 minutes. Unless you have their premiere format, which has the higher speeds. Now, and the reason, what's funny is the reason you can do that is because you're under, and I haven't even said what you can do. I'm talking so fast. You can download a movie in 10 minutes, but you're on their infrastructure. Okay? Kaleidoscapes aren't super popular in the world right now. There aren't a lot of Kaleidoscapes out there accessing the Kaleidoscape servers to download Infinity War. So when you come home and you say, I've got a Terra server, I've got the Terra system, I have the top of the line, everything here. So I have the fastest processing on my end. They have the fastest processing on their end. I can get this entire movie in probably 12 minutes. That's because there's no other drag on their system. They're set up to cater to just these people. Now, on the internet, to get a lossless version of a 2-hour movie, never mind Infinity War, which is 3, a 2-hour movie, all of that data has to, you're competing with everybody in your neighborhood, everybody else trying to download this movie. It's almost impossible right now to do a movie lossless in any format, whether it's DTS or Dolby or the image that you're looking at. It has to be compressed. Otherwise, if everybody's trying to download lossless, it would bog your system down so much, it would be crazy. So we just don't have that infrastructure yet, and it just has to be because of the amount of, I mean, I think of it like, I hate to go back to the car analogy, but look at a race car. A race car is super fast. It can go around the track. It can do what are these Formula One cars doing? They can do 200 miles an hour, no problem, for however many hours, but you could never, ever drive that to work every day. That car, it can't get it. It's too fast. It can't get going. It won't last. It's only set up to race for that amount of time. Then they have to completely rebuild the engine when it's over. You can't do it. You want longevity? You're going to have to pay a price on speed and everything else. It's more durable. Well, that's the same with our downloads. It's like you want something that's more that you're going to get on the other end and be able to see lossless. That's you're getting everything, and that's a lot of information. It's going to get messed up on the way here, and it's going to take a long time to get there. So I think we're a ways off from that. But I am excited to have DTS coming to us, and I'll talk about that in a second too. Daddy077 also said, lately I've been using the Oro 3D up mixer. The dialogue and the height speakers I utilize more. I recommend trying it out. And I said, I replied to him, I'm like, yeah, up mixing has gotten so good. All these codecs are competing for our ears, and we're benefiting. And actually, I've heard of people, I know people that upmix Atmos to Neural X. And to me, that's a sidestep or maybe even a downmix, because you're not getting exactly what the Atmos is putting out. It's upmixing it. But people prefer that. And that's fine. That's great. If it's getting you to watch all of this content and enjoy all this content, then who cares? It's what sounds good to you. That's great. And it's a win. It's all of this stuff is a win. I have Oro capabilities with my receiver, Oro 3D capabilities. I just haven't, my receiver is old enough that I need to download it. And at the time, I think it's like a $200 upgrade to download it. I just haven't done it. And I didn't put in the Voice of God. I didn't do, you know, that speaker. So I haven't really, I would love to test it out someday, but I don't have those capabilities yet. All right. Last thing before I give all my comments on this IMAX Enhanced, this was in an article that I read over the weekend, and it kind of made me laugh. Not angry, but just made me laugh, and that people just don't get it. And here's a quote from the article, because the article was saying that it's too late for IMAX Enhanced, and it's like, great, great, but too late. Sorry. And here's the quote from it, and it says, while it's great that IMAX Enhanced content is here, it's taken much longer than it really needed. There doesn't appear to be any technical hurdles to leap over, and the overall feeling I get is that Disney parses out content to keep streamers engaged and ensure it doesn't lose them. Or if they do, like Michael Corleone in The Godfather Part 3, just when you thought you were out, they bring you back in. If true, it's not really a tactic I'm fond of. But considering the buzz around this IMAX news, it probably works. Okay, that's the end of the quote that I'm going to get. This entire article was based around this idea, which I think it's, what are you doing? Do you understand that all of these people, IMAX, Disney, they're all in this to make money? End of story. I love this part. Disney's, it appears, I get the feeling, he gets the feeling, or she, no, it is a he, I remember the name, it is a guy. He gets the feeling that Disney parses out content to keep streamers engaged and ensure it doesn't lose them. Oh my God. Headlines, everybody. Disney doesn't want you to drop Disney Plus. What are you, an idiot? Come on. And he just, or he says, just like Michael Corleone, they want to suck you back in. They want to get, oh, maybe you did drop it and they want you to come back and give them more money. Yeah. Do people think, or according to this, people actually think that they're out there just doing this out of the goodness of their heart? Like they should have rolled out IMAX right away for everybody? Like, you knew this existed a year ago. Why didn't we have it then? Because what would they be doing this year for, you know, Disney Day or Disney Plus Day? And here's where I get to my opinion on all of this stuff. I love what they did. I wanted this since the beginning. I was hoping we would get it. These movies, IMAX, were filmed with IMAX, were filmed with IMAX Enhanced in mind, especially Endgame and Infinity War, and we're finally getting it. Just because we can remember back to when we didn't have it, that doesn't mean it's a bad thing that it's coming now. I love that we're getting IMAX Enhanced on Disney Plus. I love that we're getting DTS. I've said it on Twitter. I love the idea that we're going to get competition to Dolby. That means that Dolby might have to up their game. I asked Rob on Twitter, do we finally get a definitive Thor Ragnarok? Thor Ragnarok was one of the IMAX enhanced movies. That will get a DTS:X version. Does that DTS:X version on streaming surpass the crappy, which we all know, it's the running joke in home theater, does that surpass the crappy Dolby Atmos track that we got on the physical disc. I said this 2 years ago. I was talking about saying that, is it possible that Disney is putting out inferior Atmos tracks? They don't seem to be caring, because maybe they're going to roll out something like this. And here we are today. We're getting IMAX Enhanced, which I think is great. We're going to get DTS:X on a streaming service, whether it's compressed, lossless, whatever. It's competition. And competition, it breeds excellence, because you're trying to be better than the next guy. And that goes for Dolby. Dolby is going to have to up their game. Do you want to sell more? Do you want to be the better format? Whatever the case is, that's what's going. It's great for us, because we get to sit back and watch these two formats go at each other. And we're the judges. We don't just get to watch, we're the judges. So I think this is fun. I love getting this. I can't wait. When we get IMAX and when we get DTS:X through a streaming service. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, we talked about IMAX Enhanced doing streaming. I read the article, and I talked about the article here. I read that article as maybe IMAX was coming out with their own streaming service. And then it was like a week or two later, we got the news that IMAX was coming to Disney Plus. I would still love to get a streaming service called IMAX Enhanced, where all the movies show up that are IMAX Enhanced. But now it looks like we're getting IMAX is going to be going to different streaming services. I thought I heard or read talk of going to Netflix as well. I would honestly love is a Sony streaming service where all the Sony movies show up with IMAX Enhanced, and we get a, like a Disney Plus, but it's all Sony movies. I think that would be great for home theater fans, because as I've talked about in the past, their movies all tend to be very good home theater experiences. But this entire IMAX Enhanced thing that happened over the weekend, I'm very excited for the future of IMAX Enhanced, of streaming. I think this is all pushing the envelope, and it's pushing our home theaters. Even in that quote that I was talking about, he even says in the article that most of this is just geared towards, he might have called us nerds, which I lean into. I'm part of the Nerdy Legion. I start this podcast calling you guys home theater nerds. I get it. Yeah, it is for us, because most people aren't going to be able to enjoy the full benefit of all this unless you're one of us nerds. And that's fine. But it's still a product that could be sold. I mean, they only sell so many Ferraris a year, but it doesn't mean you don't make them. You only sell so many receivers. You only sell so many high-end products, and we're the benefit of it, and we're enjoying it. So bring us more. Very excited for this. I can't wait to get more. I can't wait to talk about more. You guys let me know what you think. I hope you guys agree with me on the fact that, yes, they're in this to make money, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's not wrong for Disney to be making money and IMAX to making money and rolling these things out purposefully to get us to stay with their service. That's how you do it, you know? And it's like, I stay with their service. Like, I'm going back and watching C. We're going to talk about that in a second, but I'm going back and watching C just because it had nothing to do with Disney. You know, the product I bought a completely different product that upped my game in my room. I'm watching a whole bunch of content over again. That's part of this. Disney's just doing the same thing. IMAX Enhanced is just doing the same thing. It's getting us to watch and engage with their product over again, but they're doing it. The masses are doing it. I get a new receiver. I watch a whole bunch of all my product over again. I get, oh wow, I have new HDR. I'm going back on Disney and I'm watching The Mandalorian again because I didn't enjoy the HDR on that. It's better. Still not very good, but I stand by my original opinion of it because that's all I saw, but it's better to me now than it was then, but it's still not very good HDR. But all right, enough on that. You guys let me know what you think, but we'll move along from there. We'll get to this week's movies and scenes, and the first one we have is from WV Brew, the aforementioned show C. He says, at Brightside HT, great Atmos usage in Season 2, Episode 4 of C, the Witchfinder is having waking flashbacks of all people he has killed. All the shrieks, screams, fire in height channels. Put his inner thoughts in height channels. Be a great use for inner monologues, too, to really great use. So that one, I haven't gotten to, I have said, I'm going back and watching Season 1 again because of my Lumigen. So, but yes, the Atmos in this is one of those where everybody's blind in the show C. It's one of the reasons I love the movie Daredevil, the director's cut, the extended edition of Daredevil. But I love the sound in that because it's a movie that's about the blind. So, and he uses sonar. Well, a lot of what C is about people hearing stuff, and that that's nobody can see. That's the basis of the show, and they've survived just by hearing. So the sound in this show, it just really is. It should just be called, you know, home theater nerd porn instead of calling it C, because that's what it is. It's just the Atmos in this, when it first dropped on Disney Plus. Way back, it wasn't on Disney Plus, Apple TV Plus. Awesome, awesome sound when it first dropped. All the home theater people that had Apple TV Plus were talking about it, and it's very, very good. If you haven't checked it out, get Apple TV Plus and check it out. I highly recommend it. And as WV Brew says, Season 2, Episode 4, great use of the height channels. So check that out. Theo also says the same thing. Hi. He says, really great sound and a good show. So just commenting on that comment. WV Brew comes in again. This one I found very interesting, and I got to tell you, I'm tracking it down. I don't have it yet. But WV Brew says, at Brightside HT, the 3D in this movie is pure art, nothing gimmicky. Exactly proves how 3D can be such a great tool when used with purpose. And he's talking about Gatsby with Leonardo DiCaprio. Now, that is a movie I never would have thought of for 3D. But I know WV loves his 3D, and I trust his opinion. And what I likened this to when I read his tweet about it is what I was saying about DTSX and Psycho. And I'm like, why would you put DTSX to Psycho? But it was done appropriately. It wasn't a gimmick, and it came off very nice with great purpose. And I would love to, I'm very much looking forward to checking out Gatsby in 3D and see what he means. Like, it's not gimmicky, it's not anything, but it just gets you into that movie. And it's a very colorful movie, but I'm looking forward to it. So we'll definitely be checking that out. And I recommend you to too, because WV knows what he's talking about. Todd Anderson coming in with a recommendation. He says, watch The Rock tonight on Kaleidoscape. I've seen this film dozens of times since 1996, and its brilliance never fades. A true Sean Connery masterpiece. So quotable, and a top 10 movie for me. I can't say he's wrong. He's talking, watch The Rock. It's a great movie. I love that movie. I was hoping, because he watched it on Kaleidoscape got it in 4K, but they didn't. It was still HD. But the Blu-ray HD, it's a great movie. It is home theater, another piece of home theater porn. It's so much fun from beginning to end. And yeah, Sean Connery, he's just great in everything. His sarcasm, his wit and sarcasm are just so good in all the movies, and especially even in The Rock and Nicolas Cage and everything. Michael Biehn from, we know him from Terminator. He was Terminator in the first Terminator movie. I've known him all in The Abyss, and now he's in The Rock here, but love that movie. Had so much fun. All right, we're going to end it on that because it's late. I've got to get this thing produced and get it out to you so you can hear it in the morning. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If I didn't talk about you, I'm very sorry. If I didn't talk about your comment, I will do my best to get to it next week. Just remind me if I didn't talk about you. But I think I hit on every subject. So thank you all for listening. If you're not already a subscriber over on YouTube, I'd really appreciate that, getting those numbers up there. Not that it matters, but it's just nice to see that it's growing, and it is growing. And also Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater and you can join Eric and become a new Patreon supporter. Thank you to Eric and thank you to all of my patrons over there. I really appreciate it. It is not necessary, but greatly, greatly appreciated. Or if you want to follow me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, you can do that. Or you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. I have great conversations there as well. DM me, tweet at me, email me, talk to me on YouTube. I'll try to get back to everybody. It's getting harder and harder. Thank you to you guys, all the comments that are coming in, but I try to get to everybody. So thanks for listening. Coming up on Friday, absolutely great conversation with Nick and Larry from SVS. Rob, oh man, Rob from AV Rant has a great memory. Larry has great memory and notes in front of his job is what I do for fun. Okay. He has my dream job. He works for SVS and he trains everybody. So Nick wanted, this is what I requested. And Nick's like, I'm going to set you up with Larry. Cause what I want to do is I wanted to get somebody from SVS. How do you test your equipment? How do you do this? Like, what scenes do you use? Because that's what this podcast is all about. Nick went over and above. He brought in Larry and we talk about how they train people, what scenes they use. And when Larry starts talking about the scenes, I'm like, he is so excited. He's like me. He gets super excited about these scenes. He gets down to the frequencies that each scene comes out with. I'm like, I say it in the podcast. He puts me to shame. It's ridiculous. I'm like, I feel awful. I'm like, I wish I could do this for you guys. I just don't have that kind of time and capabilities. But he gets to do it for a living. So I'm very excited for you guys to hear that. It was a great podcast that's going to pay dividends in the future. And I mean for the podcast, I get nothing from SVS. I don't get anything from any of these people. I just want to have them on and talk home theater. I'm having fun. And it was so much fun. Really looking forward to you guys hearing that on Friday. So have a great week. Go push play. Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.